In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody, as we enter into this Pentecost weekend and Memorial Day weekend as well. So I hope that you have some wonderful plans for the weekend and stay safe out there and have a great time with family and friends. And, you know, if you're going to be out, you might as well catch me on tour. You know, we're having an amazing time out here for the Behold the Lamb speaking tour. Now, I'm on in the southern part of the United States. Tonight is my second night in Louisiana. So last night I was in Vacherie. And tonight I'm going to be at Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church in Baton Rouge from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. Actually, I was at this parish before, doing a parish mission, and now I'm back here doing one night on the tour. And then tomorrow I'll be at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Shreveport. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. And then I'm going to be visiting my sister. And then Monday I'll be in Leeds, Alabama at St. Teresa Catholic Church. And then I think I'll be still in the Birmingham area, Leeds, and EW10 on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I will be at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, on the last night of the tour. Then I'll be home for a week, and then we have a few more tour dates coming up in the beginning of June, a few dates in there. So in South Dakota. So I'll talk about that at the start of next week. But if you're going to be around, again, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Shreveport, Leeds, Alabama, Hot Springs, Arkansas, over the next few days, come and catch me. Go to my website, deaconharold.com, and look at my schedule. Just click on the schedule tab. You'll see where I'll be. You know, last night was awesome, particularly because there's so many EWTN folks that attended the talk, and so many came up to me saying, "No, I've been watching you for years on television. I listen to the show every day. You and Ace are great." And you know, I was like, "Wow!" I mean, I literally don't think about the impact, you know, of what Mother Angelica started, or even what I'm doing. I mean, I do what I do, and I just go on to the next thing. And it's not that I'm not appreciative. I just don't dwell on it. You know, because I'm always thinking of, okay, what do I have to do next? What do I have to do next? And so it's humbling, and it's also edifying in the sense that I look back on that year of real stress that I went through, thinking about and discerning God's will, but I should leave my law enforcement career and dive full time into speaking, and I remember all the anxiety. And I remember thinking, you know, am I really doing God's will here, and all of that. And when I hear folks, you know, EW10 listeners and viewers who've been watching the network for years. In fact, somebody told me last night, "Yeah, I catch you like 3 a.m. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard someone say, I saw you on EW10 at 3 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't have to work anymore." So I guess I'm the cure for insomnia, I guess, you know. But it's just been wonderful to just hear how people are, you know, moved and affected by the network and by the work that I'm doing as part of it. And I am incredibly grateful, and it made it all worth it. All of the stuff that I went through trying to discern whether I should leave my job or not, it's all worth it for sure. And I'm having an awesome time out here driving around this great country. I went for my walk today, over like about 7 miles, and it was hot, man. it is warm down here, that's for sure. But it's beautiful weather. having an awesome time. So thank you to everybody, especially all the EWTN folks who have been coming out to the talks. Know that you are very much loved and appreciated. And so today, our topic is going to be, you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about this kind of resurgence that's happening in the church. You know, the parishes are seeing record numbers of people in OCIA coming into the church, even on college campuses. The Newman Centers are seeing large numbers of students coming into the church. We've also heard in other countries like France, record number of baptisms in France, you know, and so it seems to be this resurgence. And many of you called in to share your experience of what's going on in your parish or your diocese. Well, a study just came out from Pew Research that found that many adults, in fact, they're saying more adults leave the Catholic Church than enter it in most countries, even though Catholics still make up the majority of the population in those countries. They're showing that more adults are leaving than coming into the church. So I'm scratching my head like, wait a minute, which is it? Are we gaining people or are we losing people? And what's going on? And, you know, this study says this and this study says that. You know, this particular study came out just a couple months ago, so it's pretty new. It says that Christianity has experienced the largest losses of followers due to religious switching. And that means when people identify with a different religion in adulthood than they were raised in as a child, compared with other faith groups. So Christians are losing people that identified as Catholics than their counterparts like Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam or other. I think, what is going on? So that's what I want to talk about today, because I'm a little confused about this myself, you know. So are people and then why are people, at least in other countries, leaving, you know, when we're seeing, you know, at least anecdotally, people coming into the church in large numbers? So I'm, you know, I just want to talk about that today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, would love to hear from you. Dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. And you can text your question to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And speaking of sending us correspondence, we got a question from a listener. It says, hey, Deacon. Hi, Ace. My question deals with the type of love called by the Greeks as eros love, the passionate or sensual love. I know Jesus said there is no marriage in heaven. As I spoke with Dr. Carlo Broussard about this. Of course, Dr. Carlo Broussard is an apologist for Catholic answers who's been on this show several times. And he continues, our culture seems to be hooked on this type of love, whether through sin or hookup culture. I guess my question would be, could we pray for this type of love if it's holy and not immoral, and if it's God's will? I long to be loved passionately. Thanks. All right. So in the Greeks have, there's four different types of different words for love. Like in English, we say love, and it depends on the context for what we mean. But in other languages, they have different words for love. So in Greek, there's typically four. There's storge, which is the love of family members. There's agape, which is the self-giving, self-sacrificing love, which is the love that Jesus talks about, you know, that gift of self one to the other. There's philia, which is a brotherly type of love, you know, that the Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And so that's the love for friendship kind of love. And then there's then is eros, which is the physical or sensual type of love. Now, and that's where the word, for example, erotic comes from. So that word's been twisted and distorted, as you said, by the culture to mean something else. But here's the thing. That's why I love the church's teaching on this. that there's nothing wrong with that Eros kind of love at all. That love takes place within the context of a covenant relationship of matrimony between a husband and a wife. And I think that kind of passionate love, in a Hebrew, it'd be yedid. So in Hebrew, there's also four words. There's hesed, ahava, raham, and yedid. So yedid would be the love between spouses, for example. You know, that would be a beloved, you know, kind of love. So that love takes place within that context because that I think it expresses in a physical way the passion that God has when he creates us. So we're allowed to experience some of that pleasure and that intensity of that love in that kind of way as part of the creative power of God's love. And that doesn't exist in heaven, only here on earth. All right, my friends, would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN.
Have you ever heard of a band called Von Groove?
I don't think so, no.
Apparently they had a little string of hits in the like mid to late 90s and then disappeared. They had a new album came out today. It's really good. It's kind of in this vein. And I'm like, how does a rock band slide by me in my lifetime?
Like, yeah.
I've at least heard of you, even if I haven't heard you yet, you know.
Yeah, you know what's great, especially last night, too, and what was great, we had college students, all the way people like in their 80s,
yeah,
were there at the talk last night, and a lot of them listened to the show every day.
Nice.
You know, and they love you, Ace. You know,
oh, wow.
It's funny, more and more people say, oh, I love you, and guys, Ace, especially when you talk about music. So, like, no matter what age group, everybody seems to love when we... You know, a chat about the music.
Yeah.
So I tell you, that's that universal language, man. It really hits home with people. Really does.
Sure. Yeah.
And that was one of the points that we wanted to do with the music is connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think that's the thing is it's such an easy conversation starter. You know, find out what people are listening to now. Find out, you know, what was your first concert? What was the first album you ever bought with your own money? Like the easy little like. Questions as, you know, surfacial questions, and then you get to the root of somebody quickly by the kind of music that they're into, right?
Yeah, that's so true. You know, and I was thinking today when I was on my walk, I think it was, what song was playing? Well, I'd listened to a lot of different things, but I think Out of Love came up on the random playlist thing out, which I was off of Van Halen 2, and I had not heard that song in a while, so I was like, oh, I was really enjoying it, and I was thinking, you know, the impact of someone like, I mean, for me, it wasn't just about Eddie Van Halen, just like being a player, just a great guitarist. Mm-hmm. It's how he made me feel about music.
Right.
You know, there's a deeper thing there, you know, and I think that's kind of the nexus with people when it comes to music. It's not just about a particular song, your particular band. It's about how, like maybe where you were in that life and how that spoke to you, how it drew something out of you, how it called you to a deeper sense of yourself, reality, how it made a connection with you. And, you know, it's just, and music, I think, does that more so than, and, I mean, because I remember, like, again, you hear a song and those feelings that you had automatically come back.
Yeah.
Even more so than, I'm not saying it doesn't happen with art. You know, and other kinds of things, but music, you know, it has that special sensory kind of thing, just like a smell. A certain smell will bring back a memory for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and music has that same kind of effect.
Yeah, well, and I was going to ask you your thoughts on this. I heard a quote today that, and it was particularly men specific, so not to exclude women from this question, but maybe it goes both ways. I'm not a woman, I don't know. But that men can't have a hobby and not be judged in some way, so which I'm thinking, okay, well, my hobby is music. So if you're judging me in that my hobby is music, that I have multiple instruments, that I spend more money on that probably than anything. My vinyl collection is probably the only IRA that I have of value. But in that, like, is that true? Like, you think that men are, like, we can't have, like, you can't collect baseball cards or you can't be a golfer? Or, like, you know, what is the hobby that you have? But if you're going to attack me, not attack, if you're going to have an opinion about me based on my collection or my hobby, then you're judging my music as well. And, like, that's more sensitive than if I was just, like, a baseball card or a comic book collector, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing about judging. I mean, for example, one of my hobbies besides, obviously, music is railroading. Mm-hmm. You know, I love trains, you know, not model trains, but the big ones, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just love watching them. Sometimes, like, if I go to adoration and or something like that, and I just want to lift my spirits, I'll either listen to something or I'll go watch trains, you know. And people say, wait, that's kind of strange. But, you know, here's the thing. Instead of judging someone or trying to make a judgment, just ask the person, wow, I never would have pinned you for someone like that. Like, what drew you to that? Like, mm-hmm. what is it about that? And find out why that makes them tick. Like, what mm-hmm. is it about that?
Yeah.
You know, about that hobby that gets that person excited or, you know, or gets them thinking, gets them moving. And that, I think that'd be a better way than just saying, oh, this person does this, and just all of a sudden making a judgment about them without even knowing. You know, because for example, trains for me, first of all, I've always loved boys, right? The little boys always like trains and things sure. like that. But I think my love for trains grew because I remember very clearly my mom taking us when we were little to Coney Island. And we used to take the bus down to Penn Station in Newark, mm-hmm. New Jersey, hop on the PATH train to World Trade Center. Get off at the World Trade Center, walk over to the subway, get on. I think it was, I could be wrong, like the C train or the A train, whatever one, and take the Coney and go out to Coney Island. And I have memories of that as a kid. I remember my favorite part was, I must have been about 9 or 10, mm-hmm. standing in the front of the subway train and pretending I was the driver, you know, like I'd be like looking out the front window and yeah. looking at the signals, you know, turning from yellow to green. And I'd pretend like I, you know, and I just had such wonderful memories of my mom and trains. It was, and I think, you know, so for me, trains is not just, yeah, okay, I'm a guy, so big, powerful things make me excited, right? Mm-hmm. Like the, you know, a 4,000 horsepower diesel engine pulling, you know, 200 tons of freight. There's just something cool about that. Yeah, yeah. But deeper than that is the memories of my mom, mm-hmm. and, you know, and those vacations we used to take when we were kids. So to see, it's not just about the trains, there's something deeper there. And I think, exploring that with people would be a better way than just saying, oh, he likes that. You know, mm-hmm. what does that say about him? You don't know what that says.
Right.
You know, that's why we need to talk and interact with people. That's why I'm doing this tour. You know, online thing is great, but come on, we need to be with people. We need to be in front of people and touch people and see people and talk to people face to face and be with people, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something that's, I think, happening less and less as we become more dependent on technology, mm. you know, and I don't want us, at least me, to lose this sense of self and connection, you know? And so whether it's a hobby, whatever it is, you know, if that gives you that sense of connection,
yeah.
I think that's super important.
Yeah. Well, and like, I wasn't necessarily a big train kid, but I do remember as a kid when we would do like family get togethers or whatever, there were train tracks close to my grandmother's house or my great grandmother's house. And so all the cousins would just get together and like walk down to the park or go to the lake or whatever. And we were walking the railroad tracks to get there. And you know, of course, you're always watching for trains for safety, but
yeah, of course,
but you talk about the, you know, being with people, like the connectivity of just like, I don't talk to those cousins anymore. I can't tell you the last time I saw them, but like, I just remember the conversations, talking music, talking school, talking friends, talking movies, talking Star Wars, whatever it was. But again, everything is that trigger or some kind of a reactor to remind you of something. But I also feel, at least if you feel judged in that, sometimes people want to feel merited in their collection or in their hobbies. And like, if I tell them mine, are they going to judge me? So I'll just judge them first, or I'll just be, you know, so then mine doesn't seem like a big deal, you know, when, again, use your hobbies, use your music taste, use those things as a way to get to know each other and then maybe even evangelize. Like, God can really use those if we allow it.
Yeah, that's so true. And even I remember my experience as a teenager in high school when I first started staying in the monastery, because back then they had a come and see program where you as a high school student could live in the monastery. So like you'd live in the novitiate, which is on the fourth floor. So you'd live with the postulants and the novices. And it was just a discernment thing, you know, like, you know, and I remember going out of the monastery because it was connected to the school. So I'd like go out of the monastery, walk into the school. People would see me like, wait, where'd you come from? Oh, I'm staying with the monks. Like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, I was like 14, 15 years old. They're like, what are you doing? I said, well, I don't know. I think God might be calling me to be a monk. I'm not sure. I was like, what? I mean, people were like shocked. Like, why would anybody want to think about doing that kind of, you know? And it's funny. The people who really took the time to sit down and ask me about it instead of judging me, like, why would you want to do that? You know, that kind of, like, wait, hold on. Why don't you get to understand what's going on in my heart? Mm. You know, why don't you get to understand and know me a little bit, know my story, you know? And if they would, I would have told them. Ever since I was 9 years old, I remember going to Mass with my mom and being so attracted to what was going on at the altar, you know? And when I started serving Mass, I literally thought I died and went to heaven. I could not wait to serve at the next Mass again.
Yeah.
And what was great for me, I remember... And it was seventh grade because our parish was across the street from our elementary school. So I would go and serve 8 o'clock Mass. Then, and that was actually, we can be late for school because we were serving Mass. And then if there was a funeral, like I'd get out of school to go back and serve at the funeral. And I was like, oh, I hope there's a, I mean, I didn't want anybody to die, but I mean, I hope there's a funeral today so I can go back and be on the altar. And that childlike love and passion for serving, I still have that. Now, as a deacon, being ordained 23 years, I still have that same childlike passion and excitement whenever I'm on the altar.
Yeah.
And so I thought that, you know, that God might be calling me that into the and monastic life just enhanced that. Mm-hmm. You know, so unless people know the full story, they shouldn't just be, you know, pointing fingers and just looking at you and judging you based on your hobby or, you know, or certain choices that you're making about things without getting to know your story.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Love that. You know, and which actually ties in what we're talking about today, religious switch from Catholicism, you know, which is a surprise. You know, because you remember we had that show, we talked about all the people that were coming into the church. And now this study comes out that shows that a lot of people are leaving. So I'm like, well, which is it? Are people leaving? Are people coming? It's a little confusing. So, I mean, I'd love to hear from you today. You know, this again, this is from Pew Research Center. It said it found that more adults leave the Catholic Church than enter in most countries, although Catholics still make up the majority of the population in those countries. So, and I said, but wait a minute, we just had a show where we're talking about all these people coming into the church. So what's happening here? And this was a survey that was done. The results just came out in April. So just last month. And this was data from the United States and also international data that came from 24 different countries. And so, again, I'm like, well, why are people leaving? You know, why are some people coming and like people that were not Catholic are coming into and those who are Catholic are leaving? So that's a weird dynamic to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, and I think it's, you know, you've got those who are hungry and questioning, and then you've got those maybe who feel burnt, or maybe they don't necessarily express their faith like they feel like they should, so they're like, well, I'm just out. I mean, I think that's the curiosity of the conversation today.
Yeah, love to hear from you today. The religious switch from Catholicism, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know that That reminds me of I Will Follow by U2. Remember that song?
Yeah, yeah.
By U2?
Yeah. It does have that, the delay.
Yeah. Although he's playing all downstrokes on that, though. It's actually not hard to play, but it's cool. It's, you have to just keep the steadiness of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think latter Van Halen stuff, so like more OU812 or
Presence, like that
something
kinda,
off the Balance. Yeah.
Balance, right, yeah, like Presence off the Balance album, yeah, things like that. Yeah. More of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a good screaming note.
Yeah. See, that's so... See, you can say a lot without doing a lot.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
You just don't have to play, you know, like legato, or you just have to play, you know, all these fancy runs and stuff like that to really say something powerful. Just like the note, the bend of the note, the pick scream. And come on, man. That's awesome.
And when you play live, that's when you know people were paying attention, because, like, they could be having a conversation and then they hear that, and they... What was that?
You know,
I got you.
Yeah. Or a great drum fill, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like one of my favorite ones, real simple, though, but, it, you know, every little thing she does is magic by the Police.
Great.
At the end.
Yeah.
I love that song because I can't wait for that fill at the end.
Right. Yeah, it's the goosebump fill, for sure.
It's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's not like... super fancy, but it's just, but everybody that listens to that song is like, you know, air drumming to that when it gets to that part.
It's like Phil Collins in the Air tonight. You're waiting for the drums.
Exactly. I mean, it's just iconic.
Yep.
Again, simple.
Right.
Simple. Just like the guitar thing we hear. Simple. Not hard, but the feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like that with our faith sometimes, too. You know? We don't have to do anything fancy. We don't have to do all these fancy prayers. Sometimes just the simply pouring our heart out to God.
Yeah.
Just giving that over. It doesn't have to be any fancy big language. I mean, that's fine, too. But sometimes you just have to just... lay it out there. Just lay your heart out. Just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's often where the most powerful results come from.
Well, I always say, you know, especially growing up in the South, you hear people say, well, Lord, help them. Well, okay, well, that's a prayer. Like, he's listening. You know, you may mean it in jest, but he's going to take it for your word, right?
Yep. And the prayer of the blind man, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simple to
There's
the
no
point.
There's no amen on it.
Just, yeah, see, just right. I love that. The beauty, and we talk about this all the time, the beauty is often in the simplicity.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to music and with our in our prayer life and our life with God.
Yep, so true.
Love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today, we're going to talk about this new Pew Research study that came out about a month ago. That says, almost contradicting kind of some other things we've been hearing anecdotally. We had a show on a couple weeks ago about people coming into the church, this kind of resurgence. And I've seen this myself. I've been to parishes where they're having record numbers of people coming into the church through OCIA, college campuses, in the Newman Centers, a lot of people coming into the church. And again, these are not, I'm not talking about Catholics returning to the church. These are people who have not been Catholic before are coming into the church. And a lot of people called in to share their experience of what's going on in their parish and in their diocese. Well, now this research, Pew Research study comes out, and this was a study that was done in the United States as well as 24 other countries from around the world. And it's called Catholicism Has Lost People to Religious Switching in Many Countries, while Protestantism has gained in some. So I'm like, wait a minute. So on one hand, we have this anecdotal thing that says that people are coming in like droves. Then we have this study that comes out that says that people are leaving, although Catholics still remain the majority. But people, I'm like, well, wait, I'm scratching my head like, what is it? So people that aren't Catholic coming in, people who are Catholic are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to talk about that. I would love to hear from you. Why do you think that is? I'm confused myself, you know, but I'd love to hear what you think about this study and why they're showing that even though the Catholics are the majority, a lot of people seem believing, while people who aren't Catholic seem to be coming into the church and that phenomenon. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Lots of reasons to enjoy and celebrate a three-day weekend. Of course, we've been celebrating today EWTN radio partners like Immaculate Heart Radio, 23 years with WSPP. And then, of course, as we get ready to wear red on Sunday, don't forget with Pentecost Sunday, we've got a chance for you to be a part of the Solemn Mass. We've got it going on not only 2:30 from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception out of D.C., but looking forward as well that evening with Pope Leo going to be leading the Mass for that as well. That's going to be at 9:30 Eastern. So check that out as we celebrate Pentecost here at EWTN Radio.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Memorial Day weekend as well as Pentecost. So a wonderful opportunity to really spend some time in adoration, maybe in preparation for Pentecost. And so your heart could be more open to receiving that everything that God wants to give you this Pentecost Sunday, as well as this weekend as well. But our topic today is religious switch from Catholicism. And this is something that I'd love to talk about because it's very puzzling to me. So we have, again, a few weeks ago, we had a great show, lots of awesome calls. People that were confirming what I've been seeing anecdotally as I travel around the country and even internationally as well. People seeing record numbers of people coming into the church, mostly people who have not been Catholic before, are finding a way into the church. And we talked about, you know, the waning of atheism, people sick of the whole woke and transgender and all that kind of, they're sick of that. And now they want something. The church has been like that steady oar in the water, you know, all the turmoil and all the turbulence, but the church has been slow and steady, you know, rowing through all of the turmoil, all of the stuff that kind of steadiness in the rocky waters of our culture, you know, and people are finding attracted to that. But yet now this Pew Research study came out last month and saying that Christianity has experienced some of the largest losses of followers due to people switching out of the Christian faith, particularly Catholicism, and leaving more so than other religions. You know, and this, again, was a study that was done in the United States and in 24 different countries around the world. You know, and so, again, but although Catholics remain the majority, so for example, in some of the countries they looked at, Poland, Catholics are 92%, Philippines 80%, Italy 69%, Mexico 67%, Peru 67%, Hungary, Colombia, Argentina. Catholics are still the majority in those countries. But most of the population in these countries were raised Catholics, and many adults still identify with the faith today. But it says a lot of them are leaving. You know, they still identify with the religion, but they're actually leaving or not practicing the faith at all. So the overall results of the study show, according to this Pew Research, that more people left Catholicism than joined it in 21 of the 24 countries. Now, let me say that again. More people have left Catholicism than joined in 21 of the 24 countries that were surveyed. People who leave Catholicism, according to this study, tend to join Protestantism or disaffiliate from religion altogether. So they either become Protestant or they won't have nothing to do with faith at all. And then that's, again, that seems to be contradicting some of the things that we're seeing in churches where people are coming in. So you have this phenomenon of people who are not Catholic that are coming into the church, but those who say they are Catholic who are leaving, you know, and I have my own thoughts about that, why that's happening. And I'll probably share those, but I want to hear from you. You know, why do you think that's happening? You know, why do people who aren't Catholic seem to be coming into the church and those who identify as Catholics are leaving? You know, we saw this with the pandemic. You know, 69% of Catholics didn't believe that Jesus Christ was present in the Eucharist before the pandemic. So at the time of the pandemic, 69% of people did not believe Jesus Christ was present in the Eucharist. Then what are you going to Mass for then? I mean, you're not just showing up punching the clock every day or every Sunday and thinking, all I just got to do is show up and go to heaven. No. I've said this before. You can go to Mass every single day and go to hell. That's not how this works. You know, I think people are leaving because they don't know what it means to be Catholic. They don't. You know, they just see it a bunch of rules, commandments, laws, moral codes, this, that, and there. And so there's a serious disconnect between their faith and their everyday life. Meanwhile, they think, well, the culture has something better to offer. Meanwhile, people who have been absorbed in the culture are saying, there's really nothing here. I see that the Catholic faith has something deep, rich, and beautiful to offer. Let's go there. So the people that are already in don't appreciate what they have, and they're leaving. That's just me, though. But I'd love to hear from you about this religious switching as a result of this Pew Research study has found. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Anthony is calling from Riverview, Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Anthony, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Great to hear from you.
So, and I've actually thought about that a lot, personally. And the only thing I can think of is, with people, a lot of times people leaving the church, is not being catechized properly. Mm. Being at a parish that, how do you say it? You have some parishes that are really alive in the faith, and some are just going through the motions.
Yeah, what did they say, Anthony? Is the expression catechized but not evangelized, right? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, because that's the only thing I can think of. Because remember, for the past, 100 years, I think, even during Vatican I, that was kind of some of the things with Vatican II, they were also always saying catechize the lay people. But now we're still kind of going through that now with everything going on. And with the resurgence of people coming to the faith, they're realizing, oh, Jesus is over here. Let me go to where the way, the truth, and the life is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing is, Anthony, I agree with you. The thing is about catechesis. Everything we do in the church, everything from Catholic school to youth group to OCIA to Bible study to adult faith formation to what's called mystagogy or post-baptismal catechesis. So those who came into the church, you OCIA, we still need to have, they're still learning, they're still growing in the faith. No matter what, everything has to be pointing toward and directed toward intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion, the life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what everything we do in the church has to be about. That's what the sacraments, most especially the Eucharist, points us and directs us toward, developing and deepening an intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that encounter with him, then we take that from the church and we go out and we bear witness to the power of God's love to this world that's broken and hurting and confused and angry. They need to see the power of God's love and witness to that. And I think when we do the catechesis without the evangelization piece, you know, it's great to know your faith. That's great. But it can't be about like learning a subject in school, math, English, science, language, arts. It's all about a love relationship, a love, life, intimacy, and communion. So it has to be the mind and the heart. It has to be. And so it's catechesis and adoration. It's also catechesis and the rosary. It's both and, not either or. And so I think you're right, Anthony. I think sometimes that happens. We don't get the balance right.
Yeah. I even see that in my personal life and with other family that's been raised Catholic since a baby, and me basically being a convert over the last couple of years. I've seen that. Like, okay, why am I looking at it like this? You guys are just really casual with it. And I'm like, I kind of look at it a little bit differently, where they're kind of like, yeah, I go confession maybe a few times a year, and I'm going to confession once a month or more.
Mm. You know, Anthony, you make a great point. You know, it's almost as if the ones who are, and I would hazard to guess that the ones who are leaving, the ones at this pew, I didn't look at read the whole study. I kind of saw an executive summary of it. The people that are leaving have been, in fact, the study even says they've identified as Catholic for most of their life. But yeah, they identified as Catholic, but it was cultural Catholicism. Yeah, we just grew up this way. Oh yeah, I went to Catholic school. But there's no connection between any of that and how they're living their life every day. Whereas the people who are not Catholic, who are living in the world, they feel empty, they feel lost, and then they see what the church has to offer. So why aren't the people who are already here, why don't they have that, why aren't they learning the same things that the people that are looking at the church from the outside in and coming in, but people who are already here and maybe not, but they're leaving, instead of looking at what the other people are seeing when they're looking at the church from the outside, they're just leaving. You know, instead of saying, wait a minute, why are these people coming in? What is it about this that I don't know? What am I not getting here? And then leaning into that. I think that disconnect could also be part of it too, Anthony.
Yeah, I think that's why you've even seen a resurgence in the traditional Latin Mass. Why a lot of the younger generation, even myself, I bounce between the Latin Mass and the Novus Ordo, where I go to both, and I see the differences with both, and I see the benefits of both.
Yeah, No, again, it's the one sacrifice of the Mass done in two forms, ordinary or extraordinary. It's simple, you know, but that's what I love about the church. There's the richness and the beauty and diversity, and it's also the Eastern churches as well. You know, there's the Maronites and the Ruthenian and the 11 different Byzantine types of rites as well, Syro-Malabar, Melkite. There's so many rich, deep, beautiful expressions of the faith. And I think we just need the time to appreciate what we have. You know, it's like you've been married for a while. You know, after a while, you know, when all the excitement wears off, you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm married. Yeah. And you kind of take things for granted. And I think we've done that too much in our faith. We've kind of just taken this incredible, beautiful gift and taking it for granted, which is one of the reasons why I'm doing these tours, you know, to going out and helping people to realize in a deeper way, to make the deeper connection with what God is doing in their life. And in this particular tour, especially in the Most Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. But thank you so much, Anthony, for your awesome call and your wonderful insights. And we'd love to hear from you today about this religious switch from Catholicism, this Pew Research study that came out showing that even though Catholics, and they looked at 24 different countries, even though Catholics are the majority, they say that more Catholics are leaving than are coming in. But yet we see a lot of people who aren't Catholic coming into the church, but those who are already Catholic are leaving. Why is that happening? Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary is calling from Humboldt, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mary, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. So great to talk to you. I listen to you every day on my way home from work. But I wanted to give you my opinion and my observation. I'm a mature Christian. I'm a Protestant. And I've noticed I visit a lot of churches because I moved from Houston to Humboldt, and I had to be in search of a church at the same time as I prayed to the Lord, guide me to the right church. Mm-hmm. So I've been visiting different churches, and I noticed I really like the Hispanic churches. I just feel more comfortable with the people. They invite me in more easily. Well, I asked Hispanic people, they say, oh, yeah, we used to be Catholic, or I was Catholic, and I asked them, well, why did you leave the Catholic Church? And they tell me, well, because they teach us a lot of tradition, but they don't teach us the Word of God. And here we've learned a lot about the Word of God. So one of the basic principles is that we're spirit, and the Word of God is spirit. And even Jesus said, seek ye or read about me in the scriptures, because they speak of me, and they are spirit, and they are life. And even the Apostle Paul mentions people that are on the milk of the Word. They're babies. We go through a process at the beginning when we start seeking the Word of God. We're babies, but we eventually want to graduate to the meat. Paul says that we should also be into the meat of the Word. So I've been one of those Protestants that I got tired of just hearing some sermons in Protestant churches. I noticed they, expound on three scriptures. Okay, let's open the Word, blah, 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 blah. And then the pastor talks. But because I've been maturing, that's very boring. It's very low level. I want more. So what I had to do is I took some biblical courses from Liberty University. Mm-hmm. And I got a degree, not a degree, but a diploma. I also got a diploma from Hebraic Christian Studies, where you study the Word of God from the Hebrew or Jewish perspective. But I got to the point where I was hungry for the Word of God. Yes. It's a hunger, and it feeds our spirit. And if I don't find it in a church, I move on. And I'm an older lady, and I've told the Lord, Lord, I think I'm just going to have to go to any church and just listen to the Word and just be satisfied with that, because gone is the era of the charismatic church. I thank the Lord that I was in a church where I saw the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow! I got so excited. Tears would come to my eyes because God was not up in the heavens in a throne room. He was among us. He was moving. And sadly enough, it's now just quiet, like nothing's really happening in the churches, because I still keep visiting churches. And so I thought my main point is, some of us get very hungry for the Word of God, and if the church is not feeding us, we leave. And we're trying to seek where we can get fed more about the Word of God. Not because we want to go to a seminary or we want to go to a university and major in biblical studies. We're just ordinary people. We're Christians. Yes. We're children of God, and we want to know more about Him and His Word. And I believe that's one of the main points that you might see why maybe Catholics are leaving, because they're hungry for the Word. But even as a Protestant, I get hungry for the Word. And I believe many Protestant churches are still kind of, quote, I shouldn't say this, but they're kind of, quote, dead. I had a pastor that used to call them ice skaters, because once you experience the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit, like I have, I've been, I've had that experiences with the Holy Spirit, because I sought Him with all of my heart. And I read the book by A.W. Tozier, In Pursuit of God, and I applied the principles, and I had a hunger, and one day the Holy Spirit manifested in me, and I fell under His power. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I think some of us have more hunger for the Word of God, which is the Spirit. The Word of God is Spirit, and it is truth, and our spirits get hungry for that.
Yes.
And that's
Amen.
My opinion and my observation.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. Love your call. And the thing is about our Catholic faith is thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly biblical. One of the things I'm doing on this speaking tour, I'm showing how the Mass is thoroughly, totally biblical. In fact, I have a book, one of my six books, is how every single word in the Mass, almost every single word we speak in the Mass, comes from the Bible, line by line. Comes from the Bible. So we are thoroughly, although, thank goodness for the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, Scott Hahn and Dr. John Bergsma, who are helping to give a deeper biblical perspective to our church. It can't just be about the teaching. We have to tie in the scriptures even more. Love that. Gretchen's a first-time caller calling from somewhere in Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio Network. Gretchen, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. I got to see you in Arizona once when you did a tour, and I really enjoyed your talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I called because I was raised Catholic and through the 80s and 90s, and my mom also raised Catholic prior with the Baltimore Catechism for her. For us, we didn't have that kind of upbringing. So I think she assumed we would get a lot from Catholic grade school, but I don't think I really learned as much. So when I was in my 20s, I really didn't go to church. I didn't see the reason, sadly. But when she died, my mom died when I was in my early 30s. That was the first time I actually questioned whether heaven and hell were real. Before that, I always just assumed, but that her death really catapulted me into trying to understand what faith really meant.
Yes, amen. And yeah, we have to do a much better job making those connections, people. All right. May Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you this Pentecost weekend. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.